Hello, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Today's presentation is based on a short story by George Randolph Chester called Bargain Day at the Tutt House, first published in June 1905 in McClure's Magazine. And now return with us to those thrilling days of yesteryear, when candles provided illumination, stagecoaches were the principal form of transportation, and hotels were actually roadside inns. It is a beautiful autumn afternoon as the stagecoach rumbles over rickety bridges through gold-tinted valleys on roads canopied under bright-colored trees. Belmont Van Camp is traveling with his splendidly preserved brunette wife and stunning daughter, Evelyn. Opposite them sat the Ellsworth family, where the father, Edward, resides quietly beside his splendidly preserved blonde wife and handsome son, Ralph. An icy silence permeates the carriage as the two well-preserved matrons assiduously avoid acknowledging each other's presence. The uncomfortable husbands are following the lead of their domestic superiors. The young woman and young man sneak demure smiles at one another. They pass a quaint little two-story building with a dilapidated sign over the front door, announcing itself as the Tutt House. Evelyn says,
"What a delightfully old-fashioned inn. I wish we could stop there for the night."
"Dear, they would probably not have accommodations that would suit your mother."
"Did you see that gray-haired man on the front porch? He seemed to be shaking his fist at the stage as we went past."
This was followed by an uncomfortable silence that lasted several minutes, until the stage jerked up so suddenly that it nearly destroyed the atmosphere of unfriendly dignity inside the coach.
"What can be the matter? Ralph, please find out why we stopped so abruptly."
"Well, it looks like we are stuck. The water is a torrent and there is no bridge, or perhaps it washed away. We're practically on a flood-made island. It looks like there is no choice but to turn around and stay the night at that quaint, old-fashioned inn we passed a bit ago."
"How annoying. Well, I suppose we will have to make the best of it, eh, dear?"
When the stage pulled up in front of the little inn, Uncle Billy Tutt stood out front, prepared for revenge. In former days, the stage had always stopped at the Tutt House for the noonday meal. Since the new railway was built, though, it never stopped. Day after day, as the coach flashed by, Uncle Billy had hoped that it would break down. But this was better, much better. The flood would bring in customers.
"I'm a-goin' to charge 'em till they squeal, and then I'm going to charge 'em a mite more, drat 'em! Let 'em bring in their own bags."
"I'll hurry along and book our rooms, dear. Here is our luggage. Oh!
Father, the suitcase has burst open, and there go all of Mother's petticoats and pantaloons. Hurry, please. This is so embarrassing."
"Well, if she hadn't packed so much..."
"Pardon me, sir. Will you kindly allow me to pass? My wife wants to secure the best rooms."
"This place looks small, and we certainly want Mother to be comfortable. She gets so irritable in tight quarters."
"Yes, sir. How can I help you?"
"I want 3 adjoining rooms with connecting doors, if possible."
"3? Won't 2 do you? I ain't got but 6 bedrooms in the house. I sleeps in 1, and I is getting too old for a night on the floor. I'll have to save 1 room for the driver, and that leaves 4. You take 2 now."
"What do you ask for meals and lodging until this time tomorrow?"
$2 a head."
"I'll give you $15 for the 3 best rooms in the house. Here is the cash."
"Oh, just take your folks right on up, Mr. Camp."
That is Van Camp, if you please."
"The rooms is the 3 right along the hall in the front of the house. I'll be up and make a fire in a minute. Just take these papers, the Jonesville Banner, and the Uckety Clarion along with you. Make yourselves comfy."
"Thank you. Come along, ladies."
"Yes, sir. How can I help you?"
"I'm Edward Eastman Ellsworth, with wife and son. I'd like 3 choice rooms with connecting doors, if possible."
"Gosh, that's what Mr. Camp wanted, fust off, and he got it. They ain't nothing but the little room over the kitchen left. I'll have to put you and your wife in that, and let your boy sleep with the driver."
Why, this is an outrage. My wife will never stand for it. Will you, dear? You see, this is intolerable."
"Sorry, sir. You can sputter and spit all you wanna, but that's the best I can do for you.
The Ellsworths were holding a family indignation meeting on the broad front porch when the Van Camps came contentedly down for a walk and brushed by them with unseeing eyes.
Well, darling, didn't I do well securing our rooms? You needn't be so maudlin, my pet. It is perfectly fascinating sweet, don't you think, Evelyn? That delightful old-fashioned fireplace in the middle apartment makes it an ideal sitting room, and the beds are so roomy and comfortable.
I just knew it would be like this. I remarked as we passed the place, if you will remember, how charming it would be to stop in this dear, quaint old inn overnight. All my wishes seem to be coming true. Oh, Mother, don't be so dour. Come, let's take a walk. It is a beautiful day.
These simple remarks were like vinegar and wormwood to Mrs. Ellsworth, and she gazed at the retreating Van Camps with a glint in her eye that would make one understand Lucretia Borgia at last. As the Van Camps strolled away from the inn, Evelyn dropped behind her parents and wandered off on a side path to gather autumn leaves.
Ralph, where are you going?
I thought I would stretch my legs and enjoy this autumn weather.
Not so fast. Your mother has ordered me to turn those people out of that suite before night.
Can I help you with that?
Well, I thought perhaps some moral support... No, never mind. Take your walk, enjoy the air. I will do the dirty work.
How can I help you?
What are the Van Camps paying you for those three rooms?
$15. And look at here at this fine cigar Mr. Camp give me, just for doing business with him.
I'll give you 30 for them. Just set their baggage outside and tell them the rooms are occupied.
No, sirree. A bargain's a bargain, and I allus stick to one I make.
All right, then. I want to rent your entire house. For a week with these floods, we may have to stay several days.
I reckon it can be did. I reckon a hotel man's got a right to rent his whole house if he wants to.
Of course he has. How much do you want?
Well, now, let me ponder on it just a minute. I tell you what, make me an offer, and if it ain't enough, I'll tell you. You want to rent the whole place, back lot and all?
No, just the house will do. Now, let's see. How about 75 for the week?
Show, you're joking. What kind of horse trader you take me for? I didn't just fall off the manure wagon. Make it 125 and you got it.
Look, here's 100. That ought to be about right.
15 more.
You are a sharp horse trader, aren't you? All right, here is the extra 15 bucks.
Good. And now I'm giving it back to you.
Wait a minute. Why would you demand an extra $15 and then give it back to me?
Them's the $15 Mr. Camp give me. You've got the whole house for a week, and of course all the money that's taken in is yourn. You can do as you please about renting out rooms to other folks, I reckon. A bargain's a bargain, and I always stick to one I make.
Meanwhile, Ralph Ellsworth is stalking among the trees, feverishly searching for squirrels, scarlet leaves, and the glint of a brown walking dress. Finally, he spotted her and slowed down to a careless saunter. She was entirely unconscious of his presence, especially after she saw him. He was about 3 trees away when a panic seized him. He was going to turn away when she, unfortunately but daintily, caught her foot in a tangle of roots, giving her ankle ever so slight a twist.
Oh!
May I be of assistance? I'm sorry, I did not notice you.
I think not, thank you. I'm fine. Ah! Oh, good Lord!
Here, let me help.
No, no, it is nothing. Nothing whatever. I gave my foot a slight wrench and became a bit faint for a moment.
You must permit me to help you. I couldn't think of leaving you here alone.
That is kind of you. Ah! Oh, it must have been twisted a little more than I thought.
Here, just take my arm. That's it. Now you can take some weight off your foot.
Ah, yes. That is much better. Thank you.
Now, let's just take our time getting back to the inn. A delightful spot, isn't it?
Quite so.
You don't happen to know Billy Evans of Boston, do you? Tall, thin fellow
with a... I think not. I am not very well acquainted with people in Boston.
Too bad. I was rather hoping you knew Billy. He is a splendid fellow and knows everybody.
Not quite everybody, it seems.
Yes. That is true. Well, then, can you believe this weather? It has been...
Yes. It is most pleasant.
How about that flood, eh? Gosh, there were logs.
Yes. The water was high.
You know, I was golfing just the other day when the funniest thing happened.
Really? I don't play golf.
You seem rather untalkative at the moment, Miss Van Camp.
Mr. Ellsworth, you seem like a nice young man. But let there be no mistake. This unconventional meeting, made possible by my inopportune ankle injury, cannot possibly take the place of a formal introduction.
Of course not. I would never be so presumptuous. I was merely trying to make conversation.
Yes, of course. I did not mean to seem unsociable.
You know, I was just thinking. That inn is one strange building.
It is, yes. The rooms in it are as quaint and delightful as the exterior, too. At least the rooms in front are.
Your family got the better of us there. Of course, Mother is furious, but I rather look on it as a lark.
It's perfectly jolly. Ha ha! Awfully selfish of us too, I know, but loads of fun.
Oh, yes, I agree. Say, your ankle must be doing better. You are hardly limping at all.
Oh, well, I... It must have loosened up a bit on the walk. It is still quite painful, now that you mention it.
Yes, there's your limp again. Much better. There may be people watching, and we don't want to appear arm in arm without a limp to satisfy them.
Humph. Don't be fresh.
Me? Say, you don't happen to know Peyton Kingsley of Philadelphia, do you?
I'm afraid I don't. I know so few Philadelphia people, you see. Why, isn't that your father leaning out the second-story window? Wait, aren't those our rooms?
Oh, Ralph! Ralph! Your mother wants to see you. Kindly excuse yourself and come on up to our suite for a few moments.
What's going on here?
It is not as easy to take a practical joke as to perpetrate one. Evelyn was sitting thoughtfully on the porch when her father and mother returned from their walk. Mrs. Ellsworth was sitting at the center window above, placidly looking out. Her eyes swept carelessly over the Van Camps and unconcernedly passed on to the rest of the landscape.
Why, isn't that Miss Ellsworth sitting in our room?
Yes, that's her.
What is the meaning of this? Evelyn, look at how upset your mother is.
I'm sorry, Mother.
Well, I will take care of this immediately.
How can I help you?
Mr. Tutt, just what is going on here? Why is Miss Ellsworth sitting in our room?
This mail just come for you, sir.
Mail? Here? From who?
You'll see. But be careful tearing it open. There's $15 in there.
What? 15? Why, I never. Here, let me see. Yes, it's addressed to me, Belmont Van Camp, Esquire. Dear sirs, this is to notify you that I have rented the entire Tutt House for the ensuing week, and am compelled to assume possession of the 3 second-floor front rooms. Herewith I am enclosing the $15 you paid to secure the suite. You are quite welcome to make use, as my guest, of the small room over the kitchen. You will find your luggage in that room. Regretting any inconvenience that this transaction may cause you, I am yours respectfully, Edward Eastman Ellsworth. What? How? Did you rent Mr. Ellsworth the entire house for the week?
Yep, sure did.
But you rented us the rooms before that.
Yep, sure did. And I rented out the whole house after that. Them rooms of yours was part of the whole house. They go with it. No way around that.
Atrocious! This is just atrocious. Simply atrocious. Mr. Tutt, this is the house of public entertainment. You can't turn us out in this high-minded manner.
I ain't turning you out. No, sir. I just ain't the proprietor of this place for the next week. If you want to rent a room, you needs to talk to Mr. Ellsworth.
Then you can at least make him take down the sign.
He can take down the sign if he wants to. It's his place for the week.
There must be some other way. Mr. Tutt, I want to buy this place. Is it for sale?
It certain is.
How much?
$3,000.
Done. I write you out a check at once.
Now, hold on. Just hold on there. Ere you will go and to scribble that there $3,000 on a piece of paper? If you err a figuring on that, Mr. Camp, just you save your time. I'll give a man $4 for one of them check things once it, and I owe myself them $4 yet.
Hmm. I will have to think of something else. Mr. Tutt, tell me just exactly what Mr. Ellsworth rented, please.
The whole house. See them walls over there? Everything inside them walls is the whole house. Paid me cash on the spot for it, too.
Nothing was said about the furniture, was there?
Oh, no! No, there wasn't, by gum!
Nothing but the house.
His very own words. Just the mere house, says he, and he gets it. A bargain's a bargain, and I always stick to one I make.
How much for the furniture for the week?
$50.
Here, cash on the spot. As you said, $50.
Granted, I could have gotten more, couldn't I?
Probably, but it doesn't matter anymore. Now, where can we make ourselves comfortable with this furniture?
Well, there's a new barn. It ain't been used for nothing yet. Since I built it 2 years ago, I just handed the heart to put critters in it as long as the old one was still standing. It's hard to keep a clean barn with critters in it.
Come, Mr. Tutt, let's go take a look at that barn.
Uncle Billy came back from the Tutt House Annex, as Mr. Van Camp dubbed the barn, with enough money to make him love the whole world, until the whole world starts trying to borrow some. Uncle Billy belongs to a large family. Mr. Van Camp joined the women on the porch and explained the situation to them. They were chatting when the Ellsworths came down the stairs. Mr. Ellsworth pauses for a moment to exchange a word with Uncle Billy.
Mr. Tutt, if we go out for a bit of exercise, will you guarantee us positively that we will still have our rooms when we get back?
Yes, sirree. They shan't nobody take them rooms away for you for money, marbles, ne'er chalk. A bargain's a bargain, and I always stick to one I make.
We want to gather some of those splendid autumn leaves to decorate our cozy apartments. Those old-time rag rugs are some of the most decorative effects I have ever seen. Thank you, Mr. Tutt. Come along, darling.
Ain't you taking your boy with you?
No, he fatigued himself with his earlier exercise. Don't forget, Mr. Tutt, we want our rooms. Now, if you will excuse us.
I'm telling you, a bargain's a bargain, and I always stick to what I make. Now, what's we gonna do? We can't go moving stuff around with that boy napping upstairs.
I will take my wife and Evelyn to look at the layout of the barn. Ladies, shall we go?
You and Mother go ahead. I lost a handkerchief out on the porch and would like to find it. I'll catch up with you.
All right, then. See you shortly.
Oh, Miss Van Camp, I was just thinking of you.
You were?
Yes. You don't happen to know the Whitleys of Washington, do you? Most excellent people.
I'm sorry, I do not. But you will have to excuse me. We shall be very busy arranging our apartments.
Not the second floor front suite!
Oh, no, not at all.
I'd say we're about even in that game.
Evelyn, your mother wants you to take those front suite curtains down to the barn.
Pardon me while we take the next trick. There is some redecorating to be done.
Redecorating? What do you mean?
You are the younger Mr. Ellsworth, I believe.
Ralph Ellsworth. Yes, sir.
Here is a note for your father. It is unsealed. You are quite at liberty to read it.
A note to my father? Let me see. To Edward Ellsworth, Esquire. Dear sir, this is to notify you that I have rented the entire furniture of the Tutt House for the ensuing week, and am compelled to assume possession of the furnishings in the 3 second-floor front rooms, as well as all the balance not in actual use by Mr. Tutt and the driver of the stage. You are quite welcome, however, to make use of the furnishings in the small room over the kitchen. Your luggage you will find undisturbed. Regretting any inconvenience that this transaction may cause you, I remain yours respectfully, Belmont Van Camp. Well, they got us there. But now, how to turn it back in our favor before Mother and Father return. Got it. That's it, Mr. Tutt.
How can I help you?
Ralph went in and made a hidebound bargain with Uncle Billy. Then he went out into the hall and waited until Evelyn came down with a huge armload of window curtains.
We are still even.
What do you mean?
I have just bought all the edibles about the place, whether in the cellar, the house, or any of the surrounding structures, in the ground, above the ground, dead or alive. And a bargain's a bargain, and I always stick to the one I make.
Very clever of you.
Isn't that rather a heavy load? I'd be delighted to help you move things, don't you know?
It is quite kind of you, but really it will not be necessary. We have hired Mr. Tutt and the driver to do the heavier part of the work, and the rest of it will be a pleasant diversion.
No doubt. By the way, you don't happen to know Maud and Dorothy Partridge of Baltimore, do you? Stunning, pretty girls, both of them, and no end of boyfriends.
I know so very few people in Baltimore. Mother is waiting for these curtains. Please excuse me.
Ralph went out on the porch and sat in a rocking chair. There was nothing else he could do. It was growing dusk when the elder Ellsworths returned, almost hidden by great masses of autumn boughs.
You should have been with us, Ralph. I never saw such gorgeous leaves in all my life. We've brought nearly the entire woods with us.
It was a good idea. A stunningly good idea. They may come in handy to sleep on.
What are you saying? You don't mean to tell us that you let the Van Camps jockey us out of those rooms after all?
Oh, no, no. Just come right on up and see. They left us one candle. One solitary candle on the mantel.
One candle? Why?
Because one candle in three completely empty rooms is drearier than darkness.
What? Where is all the furniture? The paintings, the rugs, they're all gone!
That's right. Mr. Van Camp rented all the furniture for the week. Here, it is all explained in this letter.
Rented all the furniture? Why, that's impossible. Now, Mother, don't cry. We'll figure out something.
I already have figured out something. I made a deal with Mr. Tut to buy all the food on the place. Everything edible now belongs to us.
Good lad. Very good indeed. They will be up here soon and will be compelled to compromise. Mother? Mother, are you all right? Quickly, Ralph. Your mother is fainting. Get her a glass of water. Move now.
All I have seen is a cracked shaving mug in the next room.
Well, get it. Quickly. Bring your mother some water.
Yes, I'm going. Now if I can get this old pump to work.
I beg your pardon, sir, but this water belongs to us. My daughter bought it. All that is in the ground, above the ground, or that may fall from the sky upon these premises.
The mutual siege lasted until after 7 o'clock, but it was rather one-sided. The Van Camps could drink all the water they liked, and it made them no hungrier. If the Ellsworths ate anything, however, they grew thirstier, and moreover, water was necessary if anything worthwhile was to be cooked. They knew all this and resisted until Mrs. Ellsworth ate a sandwich and choked. It was heartbreaking, but Ralph had to be sent down with a plate of sandwiches and an offer to trade them for water. Halfway between the pump and the house, he met Evelyn coming with a small pail of the precious fluid. They both stopped, stock still. Then, seeing that it was too late to retreat, both laughed and advanced.
Who wins now?
It looks to me like a misdeal.
Say, you don't happen to know the Gately's of New York, do you?
I am truly sorry, but I am acquainted with so few people in New York. We are from Chicago, you know.
Oh, yes. Well, I suppose I should get this water up to my mother.
Down at the barn, the wide thrashing floor had been covered with rag rugs and strewn with tables, couches, and chairs. It looked quite homey, but this was only an illusion. The red-hot stove smoked abominably. Chill cross-drafts whistled in from numerous cracks, and the miserable Van Camps could only cough and shiver. Up in the second-floor suite, there was a roaring fire in the big fireplace, but there was a chill in the room that no mere fire could drive away. The chill of absolute emptiness. Mr. Ellsworth went to hunt up Uncle Billy and found him on the porch, just as he was pouring something yellow into a tumbler from a big jug.
How much do you want for that jug and its contents?
Wait a moment. I want a bit on that.
This here jug ain't for sale at no price. It's too pesky hard to sneak this here liquor in past them revenuers. But I reckon it's my treat, gents. You can have all you want.
Your health, sir.
And to you, sir.
Yeah, bottoms up.
Ralph and Evelyn happened to meet at the pump, quite accidentally, after Ralph had been hiding in the bushes for 15 minutes, waiting for Evelyn to appear. It was Miss Van Camp this time who had been thinking about mutual acquaintances.
You don't happen to know the Tylers of Parkersburg, do you?
The Tylers? I should say I do. Why, we are on our way now to Miss Georgiana Tyler's wedding to my friend Jimmy Karsten. I'm to be the best man.
How delightful. We are on the way there, too. Georgiana was my dearest chum at school, and I am to be her best girl.
Let's go around on the porch and sit down. Wait, there is my father. You stay here, and I'll go talk to him. Hello, Father. What are you doing?
Why, I was sharing a glass with these gentlemen.
It just occurred to me, Father, that you might not know we are all to be house guests at the Karsten Tyler wedding.
Why, no, that's quite a coincidence. Mr. Van Camp, allow me to introduce my son, Ralph. Mr. Van Camp and myself have found out that we shall be doing a lot of business together from now on. He's just purchased control of the Western and Metropolitan and Western string of trolley trains in Chicago.
Delighted, I'm sure. Excuse me, please. There is someone waiting for me.
Huh. Seems like he's in a hurry. Look, why can't we make things a little more comfortable for everyone? Suppose, as a starter, that we have Miss Van Kemp give a shiver party down in the barn.
Good idea. A little diplomacy. That'll do it. Each of us will have to tell his wife that the other fellow made the first overtures.
That is true. If both of us are to continue in our, domestic unions.
Oh, by the way, you must allow us to furnish the dinner for your shiver party.
Dinner, by all means.
Well, come along to the kitchen, then, and we'll just see about that dinner.
Good heavens, there's already food cooking.
Of course. I swan, I thought you folks had never come to your senses. Here I've had a big pot of stewed chicken ready on the stove for 2 dad-blamed hours. I can give you that, and smashed taters, and chicken gravy, and dried corn, and hot corn pone, and pumpkin pie, and coffee. Will that do you?
Do us? Just the smells make me slaver like a wild dog.
It looks like the young people have already served themselves.
Wonder what they's talking about at that little table over in the corner.
It looks as if they have just come to an agreement about something or other. See, Evelyn is waving the shorter end of a broken wishbone.
A bargain's a bargain, and I always stick to one I make.
Now, that gal knows how to do business.
It appears the traitorous young couple of the rival Van Camp and Ellsworth families have made a bargain of their own. Hopefully, you'll agree that it was the best bargain to be had at the Tut House that day. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of Bargain Day at the Tut House by George Randolph Chester. Our producer was Darren Howage, and the story was adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. Our players were Terry Yates as Ralph, Jason Cassio as Billy Tut, Hillary Carter as Evelyn, Ian Buchanan as Belmont, Darren Howage as Edward. This is your narrator, Brad Buchanan, inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another Maplewood Barn radio show here on KBIA.